into the Gospel of Luke and looking at verse 27 of chapter 6, ahead to verse 38. So picking up right where we left off, Jesus is continuing to teach and continuing to challenge us. Remember, I've been talking the last several weeks how the life and the presence and the ministry of Jesus gives us an opportunity, right? A blessed opportunity to experience more in our lives, to be set free from things that have held us back, to be empowered to live in new ways. But that living in new ways part, that presents a challenge to us, right? That's not easy to do. And we're going to have to lean on God's grace if we're going to be able to live into the calling that we have in Jesus. So let's prepare ourselves to hear these challenging words from Jesus found in Luke chapter 6. And let's stand in honor of the word today. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. Open your heart to God's word. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. These are the words of Jesus. You may be seated. So as Jesus is continuing in his project of saving the world, he has called out these disciples and he's trying to show them a whole new way of life that will enable them to become the apostles who could plant and start new things that will allow the kingdom to expand and the church to grow and for that message to spread. And you know what? He did a good job because we know about it. Amen. 2,000 years later, Jesus still has faithful followers living on the earth, proclaiming his truth and enjoying the benefits of his grace. And so this is the way to do it because it worked. This is the way to do it because Jesus is not wrong. But the disciples, one of the things they had to learn was really how to love. I mean, we know the word love. We're familiar with it. There are a lot of different ways that we express love. In English, we only have one word for it. And so I might say, I love pizza, I love the Cubs, and I love my wife. But hopefully not in that order, right? And hopefully I mean something slightly different by each one of those things that I say. And Jesus is wanting us here to think of love in the ultimate sense. And in the sense of sacrifice and in the sense of service to others. And so he's gathered together his disciples. He has called them out and away from ordinary life, and he's challenging them to live in a different way. Now, in the era of Jesus, among religious people and among the Jewish people, there was a very extensive set of laws that were to govern how relationships happened. And so some people made it kind of a hobby to try to be very aware of each and every one of these 713 laws and then all of the other traditions that have been handed down alongside of them. But that really wasn't the approach and the method that Jesus used in teaching his disciples. He assumed that they had been raised in those traditions and they knew a basic sense of right and wrong. And he was seeking to distill that message down in a way that just about anybody could get a hold of and understand. And this turned out to be perfect because Jesus had in mind to reach more than just the children of Israel. He had in mind to reach the whole world. Amen? And so by boiling this down, he was doing missionaries like Paul a big favor in helping to make it clear what is most important. And at the end of the day, when you look at the teaching of Jesus and at his life, it really comes down to one word, doesn't it? And it is that word, let's say it together, love, right? Love. Jesus is challenging his disciples to love in transformative ways. Now, when you love in the typical way, you show a lot of favor and shower a lot of favor on someone that makes you feel good or someone who showers a lot of favor on you. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's a good thing. When people are especially kind and generous to us and we are especially kind and generous to them, we can carve out a really wonderful relationship that can last through the seasons of life. It can be a blessed thing. Think about, for an example in the Bible, Paul's relationship with the church at Philippi, if you think about this on a large scale. They really loved him, and he really loved them, and they sacrificed for him. As best as we can kind of read between the lines, they walked hundreds of miles to take money and food to him so he could survive in prison, right? Now that's putting your money and your actions and your sore, tired feet where your mouth is, amen? I mean, they really showed that love, and so he wanted to show that love back to them. But he continued to challenge them that what they had experienced was just the beginnings of all that God had in mind, and he said things like, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion." Amen? And so enjoying some of these things is not necessarily the ultimate example of what God's love can do and can be. And so in this passage, and it's echoed in other places in the Gospels, but Jesus presents to us a serious challenge to how we are to respond and to live. He says that radical, amazing thing, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Let's say that together. Love your enemies, right? But you got to say it holding the mirror up, right? This is the kind of thing that the disciples were challenged to do on their own, to choose to love. And it's interesting that Jesus follows it up right after this with, don't judge, right? So let's say that together, don't judge. Because this is what happens when you start introducing high standards and high challenge to people. Everyone's immediate response is to think of, well, I can think of a time when this other person wasn't particularly loving. So, I guess they're not measuring up to what Jesus wants. And Jesus is like, nope, don't even go there, because it's not even about what they're doing, it's about what you're doing and what we are doing together. So love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Whew. That's hard, right? That's hard. When I was in junior high, there were a group of kids that kind of got against me and would like walk around and call me names and do things that were difficult. I was wrestling with these words of Jesus and thinking about, how can I love these people that are being so mean to me? I'm not even aware of what I've done, but they've chose to mistreat me. What do I do? It was hard. It was a hard challenge. And at that stage of life, I didn't really get to a place of peace in understanding how to live this out. I think it's one of those things that Jesus just never bothered to dumb down. Because it's one of those things I think he wanted us wrestling with throughout the whole course of our lives, throughout trying to be the church in the world until he returns. It's something that doesn't come easy for anyone to do. And something no one should put to bed and think they've mastered it. Amen? It's a challenge that should always be out there in front of us, saying, I have loved, but am I loving on the level that Jesus wants me to love? Because we struggle to love large, don't we? We tend to love in a very manageable and small and tidy way. And what Jesus is talking about here is big and messy and challenging. Even down to our possessions and sharing, even down to lending money. I mean, this is getting very personal, right into the way that we try to live each and every day. But Jesus doesn't blink, right? We pastors blink when it comes to passages like this, because it's such a hard word on one level. And we're aware of our own humanity and the way that we're seeking to grow into this. And so it's very tempting to just kind of turn the page in your Bible and go over and preach on something else that's easy. But we're called to preach the gospel. And this is a central part of it. If we never put this challenge in front of ourselves, we'll never even understand what the gospel was about. For God so loved, let's say that together. For God so loved the world, right? The way that he loved, Jesus is inviting us in to live in that same way. But I'm going to acknowledge it this morning. This is not easy. We have built-in defense mechanisms, and they're very real. Amen? When a person says something to us that hurts, it triggers something, doesn't it? And there's something that just comes on like a switch inside of us, and we want to hurt them back, right? Or at least powerfully express our hurt and make sure they understand the damage they have done to us. And that's real and that's general, and that is there for our survival, right? So that sometimes we'll be aware that we're in a situation where we're vulnerable, and if necessary, in order to live to the next day, we might take some self-protective action. It's part of what keeps our species alive on the planet, and so it helps us to survive, but Jesus is pointing out that it does nothing for us to help us thrive. We're not here to survive, right? I hear this all the time from people today. Survive and adapt. Survive and adapt. They're trying to take the theory of evolution and apply it to their circumstances. And it produces this kind of cold mentality toward the world. And all of a sudden now you're some sort of animal trying to survive in a savage world as if we live in a jungle, right? But we go home, we got heat, we put Velveeta on a cheese melt sandwich, we turn on the TV and we watch the NFL. I mean, we're living in pretty good times in a pretty good place, right? So we're not living in a savage world like that. If someone gets your parking space before you, they don't have anything personal against you, amen? And so their car's just a little faster or their eye-hand coordination is better, or maybe they're a little sneaky, but they got a park in place, right? You can cope. You really can. But the way we're living on edge right now, the way the blogosphere and online and Facebook news feeds and the headlines on TV, the way they're feeding our minds right now, we are just on edge. And we think everything's a fight, and we're all anxious and tied up. We can't live the way Jesus is calling us to live in that kind of mindset. So we need to tune out the world a little bit. Now, I'm not saying be Amish. I'm not saying throw your TV in the street. Although I would say that I understand them better at this point in my life than I ever have, if you know what I'm saying. There's so much about the rat race of the world that can take us away from the things of God. But even if you try to freeze time and say, okay, 1974, I'm not going to have any technology except what was available in 1974, right? You can still lust after things, right? You can still want a new saddle for your horse. I mean, there's nothing, you can't escape the fact that as human beings, we still are presented with temptations in every circumstance. But we do need to leave the ways of the world behind if we're going to embrace the way of Jesus. Amen? We struggle to love large. The first step to change is admitting this about ourselves. The second step is realizing that we can't take ourselves off the hook by trying to discover where our neighbor is falling short more than we are. Jesus just takes that right away from us. That's kind of mean, isn't it, right? I mean, the easiest thing, if we could just judge other people and then make it easier on ourselves, that'd be better, right? But Jesus says, no, don't judge. Unless you want to be judged. And I don't know any of us who do. So it's hard to live up to the challenge that Jesus is calling us to. And I want to say a couple of things before I move on to the good news here. Jesus is not saying that an abused spouse should continue to take the blows at home as if she's taken one for the team. Amen? We're not talking about that here. We're not talking about those of us who are corrupt and clever keeping others under our thumb over time because we know they're going to have to forgive us because we can always pull that up. That's manipulation. And we don't have to continuously deal with people who are manipulating us in life. Right? So there are boundaries here to what Jesus is saying, and that's clear from what he says in other places. And even in as you're dealing in the world, right? There are some times when you're dealing in a business situation and someone continuously is mistreating you and you just eventually decide you want to take your business somewhere else. That's not the same thing. But Jesus would ask us not to do anything like that vindictively. Jesus would ask us to be patient and long-suffering and assume the best about others. And Jesus would challenge us to be in conversation with people and acting in loving ways to try to improve every relationship we have. Amen? So if you're in a difficult situation that seems to involve manipulation or abusive tendencies, the thing to do is go to that person in a non-charged moment and say, this is what's going on. I don't understand it. We need to talk about this. And maybe this needs to end. And anything that I'm doing to contribute to this cycle, I'm ready to leave it behind too. But that's what loving people do. They try to be redemptive in circumstances. But if there's abuse, separation may be necessary. And counseling and therapy and maybe even charges if things are to that level. Because both parties have to be loving in Christian relationships. But we have to understand that when we're dealing with the world, Jesus isn't talking to them. So down at the village hall or the town center, they're not going to act toward us like Jesus is acting them to love, and we're just going to have to expect that. The checkout girl at Walmart may not have it all together in terms of Jesus' teaching here in Luke 6, we're going to catch some harsh words from time to time out there in the world. And in these environments of dealing with the world, we have to know the boundaries, we have to try to be loving and move our way through it. But in our relationships with each other, can we take it to another level? Can we trust? Can we love? Can we sacrifice? Because that is God's example to us. You see, the point that Jesus is making here is that God gives generously. Can we say that together? God gives generously. He loves and blesses even the wicked, Jesus says. He allows the rain to fall. He allows the food to come to them. He provides for them. He tries to draw them into new ways of living. And so this is the example that we have received. If we are now righteous people to any real extent, it's only because of Jesus lovingly working in our lives. Amen? It's because of his grace. It's because of his patience. It's because of some patience of some other church folk and family, probably, if we have become righteous people who are loving God and trying to love our neighbor. God has set the ultimate example, and any one of us who is on this journey of faith of trying to live the way of Jesus, we most of all should know that and be thankful. And so we shouldn't just look to each other for our example. And again, often we're just looking for someone who's falling a little short, so that can be our excuse to let things go. Instead, we should be looking to God. We should be looking to Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who laid down his life for all. And Jesus is talking about our loving Heavenly Father. And this is before he even laid down his own life. But he's saying to the disciples, the Father has loved you generously, so you can do this thing. It's because God was in their lives. It's because Jesus was in their lives. It's because in terms of what was to come, because the Holy Spirit was going to make the presence of Jesus even more real and available for them, they were going to be able to live this out, even though it was incredibly challenging for them. And Jesus knew they could know the truth about him in their minds, and they could articulate it like a preacher or like a teacher or just like anyone who can tell a good story. They could proclaim the words about Jesus. But Jesus knew the only way that that message of truth was going to change the world was if they were in touch with the way of Jesus and the life of Jesus, which is a way and a life of love, a life of pouring out, a life of generosity. And folks, we can only start where we are. The disciples can only start where they were. But as they would start taking seriously, looking at the generosity of God and looking at that as their example, they could begin in new ways to live into what Jesus was asking them to do. And so they began to sacrifice, and they began to form communities of love all across that world. And those communities, as they shared their love with others, sprang up what we call today the church, and those blessings flowed to us. And so from this message of Jesus, we realize the church is definitely not about a building. Amen? Church is definitely not about general or special rules. The church is about a community of people who are embracing Jesus' radical message of love, who have experienced God's life-changing love at the heart and the life level, and who are now letting that love radiate out from them. And this morning, I believe that that message comes to us in such a way that we can be children of God. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Right? Because we can look like God in the way that we live. When Sarah was born, And my wife's mother saw her for the first time. She looked at me and she said, well, we know for sure that Ellen wasn't messing around. Right, this was never a question, right? But when Sarah was born, she looked so much like me, it was kind of amazing. And she still kind of looks like me in some ways at that age that she is now. But we can be children of God to where they know who our Father is because of how we live, amen? And how we look. Because God has loved us. And he has loved us through the people in our family who've told us about Jesus. I thank God for my mother, who faithfully took me to church and taught me about Jesus, even though my dad didn't want to come. But I also thank God for my dad, because my mom didn't know how to drive, so he had to drive us to church every single Sunday. So in a powerful way, he made my discipleship possible by getting me to church all the time. We can be children of God because of the faithfulness of others. And now we need to begin to think about how others can become children of God because of the way they see the love of God in us. Amen? That's how it falls to us now. We have received so much. We are rich in love and good deeds that others have lavished on us. And so now we get to step up. It's an invitation to live like disciples, to live like apostles, to live in a way that this powerful, transforming reality of love becomes what changes other people's lives. It's scary to think how much the world has changed, even in the last 10 years. I'm to the point where I sound like an 80-year-old man used to sound like when I was young. Right? Now a 50-year-old man can say these things. Well, 51, okay. We realize that all of a sudden, so many people around us don't take the love of God for granted, don't know it directly in their lives, have listened to other voices and taken other messages in rather than the gospel of love. And so we feel threatened by that. But Jesus won't let us stay there. Amen? He won't let us live in self-protective, debate-oriented ways where we're trying to seize back power and make everyone agree with us. That was never, ever his way. Amen? People in power were never interested in what Jesus had to say. But Jesus overcame them anyway. Amen? And he didn't do it by having a bigger army. And he didn't do it by being more clever and tactical. He did it by showing his people how to love. And so these little babies that have been abandoned by people who were told that you know, having a girl or having some certain kind of defective child was a terrible thing, and so they were left to die in Roman culture, the Christians came. And they took them in, and they raised them in a community of love. Yeah, did they win over some hearts and minds by doing that? Yes, they did. Because it was costly, because it was sacrificial, they found a way to love, and people said, that's different. I've never seen that. These people are following someone I need to know about. What are we doing? And how are we living that lets this radical message of love be seen? This morning, some of us need to receive this on a very personal level. In our relationships that are close to home, this is where we are struggling the most with this. And so let it come to you as a word of invitation and challenge to live in loving and forgiving ways there. But at the same time, if we have to address what's going on in relationships, give us the courage to address them. But others of us, it's time to embrace this in terms of how we are involved in the whole enterprise of God in our world. What it means to say I'm a follower of Jesus or I'm an attender of church. What does it mean in how I'm living? And is it the love of Jesus that's being seen above all? And I don't think there's anyone in this room, myself included, who doesn't have a lot to grow into and a lot more to know and experience along these lines. So receive that challenge. Like every other challenge you've taken on in life and overcome it by God's grace, take this one on. We can be children of God. We can be a loving community that just turns the world upside down. Jesus had fewer followers than who are in this room today, and he changed the world. This morning, will we say yes to the call of Jesus to love? Will you bow your heads? Father, there can be no doubt that you've shown us what love is. And there can be no doubt that we're just all too human, Lord. And we don't always get that right. But let us be assured that that doesn't make you love us any less this morning. You're for us. You created us. You've called us. You believe in us, even on the days where we may have doubted whether we believed in you. You never stop believing in us. So this morning, let that powerful truth sink in and reassure us all. But this morning also that means that we really don't have an excuse to not live into this more. We can, and we will, if we say yes to you. So this morning, if God is talking to you, and he's putting his finger on this and saying, the way of love, there are some new areas where you could experience this at new levels. And if God's inviting you into that and you're saying yes to the invitation and to the challenge, again, would you just raise your hand this morning and acknowledge it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Heavenly Father, pour out all of the abundant blessings of your grace on us. And Lord, some of us in a special way right now are receiving that invitation and that challenge and all of your grace that goes along with it. So just continue to lavish your love on us because we need it. Because sometimes we've been wounded, Lord, and only your peace that passes all understanding can heal and restore us. But let us continue to love. Let us never stop allowing your love to flow through us to others, because that's when we experience it in a whole new way. So we look forward to hearing your call and your challenge to love even our enemies. We can only do it by your grace. But I can't imagine all the good that's going to come as we live into this calling. Bless these people, Lord. Bless their impact on the world. And may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Thankful my voice held up. Pray that God will fill you with his love and that his peace will just be overflowing abundantly from your heart so that you can love like he loves. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.